baby back door, baby fall off, sipping codeine cause I gotta kill a cough. Let me sit sideways in the big bins. Oh, you boys, they my brothers, they my friends.
There's not one guy, one person in the history of this program that's bigger than the program.
Mayfield on play action.
You're listening to Brandon Drum and Parker Thune. This is the OU Insider Under the Visor podcast.
Welcome, welcome, welcome to another OU Insider Under the Visor Sooners podcast powered by Riverwind Casino. My name is Brandon Drum, here with Parker Thune. And we just watched a debacle of epic proportions once again by Porter Moser's crew and the Sooners men's basketball team. 82-58 final as they go up to Como and lose to the Missouri Tigers. They have lost the last three games by a combined 70 points. They have lost the last three games by an average of 23.33 points a game. Porter Moser is 15-32 all time in conference. He's a hell of an out of conference coach. Well, I did the math on that. That dude is killing it out of conference. His record's insane.
If OU was Notre Dame.
Correct.
Well, I guess Notre Dame does have a conference affiliation.
Yeah, but I get you're doing the football. Yeah, whatever. Look. We're going to talk about that. We're going to talk about the Under Armour camp this weekend. So much talent colliding down there at Melissa High School. Parker and I will be there to cover that for OU Insider and Rivals. We're going to talk about some recruiting. We're going to talk about DeMarco Murray. He's staying. We broke that news for you guys the other night. It was a premature tweet. I'm not hating on anybody. It was a premature tweet by... People talk. Coaches talk all the time. And we're going to get into all that. But first, we want to thank our sponsors. So first, let's get into that.
Yes, folks, this podcast is brought to you, of course, by Riverwind Casino. And Sooner fans, you deserve the ultimate gaming experience. You deserve to win. You've seen altogether too much losing lately. You deserve to win. Head to Riverwind Casino, which has been the Metro's premier gaming destination for over 18 years, with over 2,800 electronic games, table games, bars and dining options, plus the best live music in the Metro. It's no surprise that Riverwind is always a good time. And folks, let me also introduce you to the Rocket Money app. It's a personal finance app that helps find and cancel your unwanted subscriptions, monitors your spending, and helps lower your bills so you can grow your savings. So, you have expenditures, you have certain amounts that just come out of your bank account every single month, and you're not really sure what they're for, and you've lost track, and you can't really be bothered to chase it down. Rocket Money handles all of that for you. It's a really, really easy way to automatically save money so you don't have to think about it. Let's say, for instance, you're staring down the chute at a potentially large buyout, and you need to cut costs here and there. The Rocket Money app is for you, folks. It's got over 5 million users and has saved a total of $500 million in canceled subscriptions, saving members up to $740 a year when using all of the app's premium features. So cancel your unwanted subscriptions and reach your financial goals faster with Rocket Money. Go to rocketmoney.com/gameon today. That's rocketmoney.com/gameon. rocketmoney.com/gameon.
Yeah. All right.
He said, yeah. That's about where we're at, folks. I'm going to start this off.
Yeah, go ahead.
My obligatory, I'll say it every time. I like Porter Moser.
Yep.
I feel for Porter Moser. I don't think all of the issues that OU basketball is facing are his fault. By no means am I absolving him of blame. I don't think it's all his fault, and I like him as a human being and as a basketball coach. But Brandon, it's just not working. It's just not working. Not. And at this point, I don't think this can be salvaged. Watching what I watched tonight, I don't think this can be salvaged. Tonight felt like Oklahoma just kind of quit.
Porter looked like he quit. Like in the first half, did you watch his body language? Like, you know how he's usually animated?
I watched his body language all game. He looks like a shell of a man, and I don't fault him for that. No. He has to be as frustrated as anyone with how this season has played out. He has to be as frustrated as anyone that he helped navigate this team through an unscathed 13-0 start in non-conference play, only to have it come crashing down in spectacular fashion the second SEC play hit. It's three straight games now, Brandon, where they've you brought the facts, you brought the statistics. They've just been completely non-competitive.
Correct. So what game was Texas A&M had?
Texas A&M, I'm pretty sure that was game two.
Okay.
And it was very early on in the conference.
Who did they play game one in the SEC? I'm trying to remember all this stuff. This feels like decades ago at this point.
And it was decades ago in basketball terms. I mean, their very first game in conference play was the 107-79 loss to Alabama in Tuscaloosa.
Yeah, okay, so they went to Alabama, and we all knew they were going to get boat raced out of there because and we said it on the podcast. We were like, they're going to lose. Like, you and I even said...
Yeah, like, there's
our closing statement was with basketball was they're undefeated, they're starting SEC play. We expect them to start off rough because of who they start up against. That said, they came back to Norman, and they had... was it 18-point lead with like 10 minutes left to go in the second half?
They got 34 from Bryson Goodine, of all people, that afternoon.
But they lost. They blew an 18-point lead.
Couldn't cash it in. Yes, they led by, I forget what the exact margin was. It was about the time where you'd have been more than justified if you were the opposing coach and is starting to dig into your bench and just getting guys minutes. Yep.
And then
the Aggies come roaring back.
Yep.
And Oklahoma winds up on the short end of the stick in an 80-78 setback, and that just really set the tone for the
the team has never got back. I don't think they ever recovered from that. And as a matter of fact, the next game, I can't remember who they played, but they played like they just were just beat, like they didn't know what to do. And that, I like Porter Moser, but I'm going to say this, and I've said this a few years. When things get tough, I think he gets too emotional and too...
Tense
and wild, and the players feed off that, and everything just kind of avalanches on him. And I've said that, I think, the last 3 years now, or last 2 years, because in 2021, they should have been in... Did they make the tournament that year?
2021, they made the tournament. Yes,
yeah, they made
lost
it year
in the round
one
of 32 to Gonzaga.
So they won the first game too. That's correct. So my point is 2021, it felt like things were moving in the right direction. So there wasn't really anything, I think, but we saw the tendency to collapse a little bit in conference play at the tail end. And I don't know what happened at that point. I've been told, and I really hate saying this publicly, but I'm going to say it anyways. I've been told that the tenseness causes a little bit of an issue, number one. I've been told that he is a very not my fault, you guys need to fix it type of coach. Mm. And where that came from, I would bet it's true. Or at least that's that person. It's more than one person that told me that, actually. But those few people that told me have been around enough to have an opinion that I would trust. And not in a bad way. Like, I think it's like you need to fix it. And I don't, and maybe it comes off that way, but I don't think he means like, well, it's not my fault, it's y'all's fault, like that. But I think it's more like, then fix it. Like, fix it. I've showed you what to do. Fix it type of deal. And that attitude has ran off some pretty good players. Two of them are having a hell of a year this year at Kentucky. And Houston, mind you, players that it wasn't NIL that caused them to leave. It was they weren't happy at Oklahoma and where the program was headed. Like, that's been a reigning theme. How many times has the roster had to be revamped because of players and coaches, kind of the culture inside there? And remember, Moser was a culture guy when he came over from Loyola Chicago, right? Like, culture guy. And it just collapsed at the end of 21, and it never has gotten back. It's been start hot, everything's going good. The second there's any sort of adversity, tank. And it just completely, and it never stops, Parker. It never stops. Then they go get a brand new roster at the end of the year, or they start the new year. They start off hot again, and then it does it all over again. And people want to say, well, they don't have NIL. They got NIL. That's how they're getting all these dudes out of the portal. They're not getting scrubs. They haven't got scrubs one time yet out of the portal. Well, post, I will say, yes, they have. In the post, they have. They've gotten some pretty good perimeter players out of the portal. Like, I think we all can agree. And they've recruited well out of high school, Parker. Like, you go look at their recruiting, there's a bunch of four stars and top 100 players.
He has recruited well, but the issue has been retention. If you look at his first three classes at Oklahoma, Alston Mason, whom he signed him right when he got to campus. So
yeah, he never made it though, did he?
He went to Missouri State, lit it up, was a 20-point per game guy at Missouri State. Now he's at Arizona State in the lineup, averaging double figures for them. Otega Owe and Milos Uzan from his first real class.
But and that wasn't NIL. They just got tired of the stuff at Oklahoma. Like,
and look at those two, what they're doing at Houston and Kentucky, respectively.
Yep.
Uzan at Houston, Owe at Kentucky, having resurgent seasons. Caden Cooper, he bounced out to Louisiana Tech.
Well, they played against a guy they should have signed, and they didn't. Tonight,
that being
Robinson, Caden Robinson from Ada.
Yep,
he whooped their ass.
Yeah, there's several different directions you could have gone with that, because there are a couple of Okies on that Missouri squad too, and T.O. Barrett from Edmond.
That's very true.
And yep. Trent Pierce. I can't remember where Trent Pierce
three.
Was from. He was from
three
Oklahoma,
total. So. Yeah.
Yeah. So,
but Caden was a big, big name though. Like, he was.
Well,
he
here's
was a
and like here, here's what I keep coming back to, Brandon. The whole retention aspect of things. Mm-hmm. Pretty much every single year Moser's been at Oklahoma, it's been a complete reset in the offseason from a personnel standpoint. You've had a few holdovers here and there, but for the most part, it's been an overhaul.
Yeah, that was my point.
How can you expect anything less going into this offseason when you know for sure that Jeremiah Fears is not coming back, that Jalen Moore is not coming back, mm-hmm. that Bryson Goodine is not coming back, Sam Godwin is not coming back. Brandon is praising the Lord as we speak over that
so
one.
So sad. I would assume Northweather is not going to come back. They got to get rid of him. Like, he's just a placeholder.
It's going to be another reset
for
this roster.
And Wager's not coming back either, is he?
Wagee is going to have
Wagee
another year, I think. He's going to have another year because of the JUCO ruling. But
yeah.
And Duke Miles will be able to come back as well. But man, like, again, if you're overhauling half your roster, two-thirds of your roster again, how can you expect that year five, if we get a year five for Porter Moser at this point, is going to be any different from the first 4 years? What is there to get excited about with this program next year based on what you know? I can think of one thing, and that's Dayton Forsyth. I like Dayton Forsyth.
Yeah, I do too.
He has provided a jolt of electricity for this team. He's given you something when, for the most part, there's been nothing throughout conference play. He's given you something. I love that kid. I love that he wants it. Beyond that, though, Brandon, there is precious little to make you believe that this whole experiment is going anywhere fast.
Correct. And with Forsyth, like I was telling my son, oldest boy tonight, I said, that kid is going to be one of the, if they can get him to stick around, Again, retention's been an issue. But he's wanted to be a Sooner his whole life, so you'd assume he would stay. Again, you know what assuming does. If he does stick around, he's going to be one of those guys that is a 3 or 4 year guy that starting next year, he's going to be a double figure guy. He may be a double, double guy, 10 assists type of, you know, 10, 12 points a game, a really good 3-point shooter, and just progressively get better and better and better up into his senior year. He's going to be a household name in basketball, college basketball, because he's one, he sticks around long enough, because I think he will. I think he can play in the NBA. I just think it's going to be a 4-year deal, and he's going to be one of those late round, late second, like an Austin Reeves type guy.
The reputation he has in the building is he is an absolute basketball workaholic.
Yeah.
And that's going to take him far. Like nobody spends more time.
He's a great athlete too, by the
craft
way,
than Dayton Forsyth. And yeah, there's just a lot of natural athleticism there. So you can get excited about a guy like that. But Brandon, Oklahoma comes back home Saturday to host LSU. 12-12 LSU. The odds are, as we sit here tonight, the odds are that Oklahoma is not making the NCAA tournament.
Yeah, but they'll be 17-8
if they were to drop that game, though, I mean, you can pack it in. There's not even an outside chance at that point, because the rest of the schedule.
Do they fire
like
him
this.
If they lose that game?
I don't think you gain anything from firing him midseason. I don't think you gain anything from firing him midseason. I think you know, it is what it is the rest of the way. What you get is what you get, and I don't think moving on from the coach midseason is going to help anything. But after that LSU game, let's say for the sake of the argument, they win it. Let's say they beat LSU to get to 17-8. Here's what the rest of the schedule looks like, Brandon.
Yeah,
number
it's five
three, Florida.
Top 25 teams, yeah.
Yeah, number 3, Florida. Number 22, Mississippi State. Number 15, Kentucky. Number 19, Ole Miss. Number 21, Missouri. And then you close out the regular season on the road against an albeit unranked Texas
Hot
team,
Texas
but a team
team
that still beat you on your home floor earlier in the season.
And they're
there's
hot right
no,
now.
There's no path. There's no path if you don't beat LSU on Saturday. There's a glimmer of hope, the slightest glimmer of hope if you do win that game. So, if you do not win that game, it is over. And I mean that in more ways than one.
Oh, facts. Okay, let's say they win that game. Okay, they go to Florida, right? If I remember correctly, right? After that,
to Florida.
That's gonna add on to that. Whatever the loss total is, like I could do the math on it. It's gonna be another 20-point debacle. It is, Parker. Like,
no, it will be. I agree.
And who's after Florida?
Mississippi State
at home, right?
Mm-hmm.
So that's. That would be 19 wins at that point, or 18 wins, excuse me, 18 wins at that point.
You giving them a win against Mississippi State?
At home?
Mm-hmm.
I really don't trust it. No, I don't know. I just okay.
Because my whole thing is like,
if they lose the rest of they lose their last five games, Parker, and they're 17, you start out 13-0 and you end up 17-15 at the end of the year. What the hell?
Sayonara.
Bye.
And
I don't like calling for people's heads, man. That's like,
no.
Karma. I feel like it's karma. Like something bad's going to happen to me if I call for somebody else's job. Like,
yeah, but no.
Because
but
it's not, I don't feel good about it. Clean.
No, it's impossible to feel good about it. But, you know, the one of the unfortunate realities of our job is that you got to call a spade a spade. And that's really, really difficult sometimes when people's jobs are very conspicuously on the line. But we can all see that the product right now on the hardwood for Oklahoma is unacceptable. And I don't see a win after LSU. I truly do not.
I don't either.
Could Oklahoma steal one of those six games? Maybe two in a perfect world? Okay, yeah.
If they steal two of them and they end up with
the dance.
If they end up with 18 wins with the schedule that they have, there's still a chance that they make the tournament. But
no, I don't think there is. The eye test is going to clobber
them on selection Sunday. That's where I was going with this. But it's, I was about to say, but it's really hard to overlook the 20 and 30 point losses at the same time. Like, you can have all these great top 25 wins, and Oklahoma will have like six or seven at the end of the year. The problem is the losses that you had were horrible, and not horrible in the fact that you lost to bad teams, horrible in the fact that you showed up to the arena, assumed the position, and just said, come on with it. And I that was as descriptive as I could get, but that's exactly what it's like.
Oh, man. It was the worst of times. It is the worst of times.
It then not was.
There is no was. It it's actively still going is on. The worst of times.
There's still six
OU
games left, Parker.
Oh, man. It's just, it's torture to watch this team, too. Like, that's just, and that's the thing. It's not any fun to watch OU basketball. There's nothing fun about that team. There's nothing exciting. Even when they eke one out, it's ugly. Like, I don't know what happened against Vanderbilt. Like, they blew Vanderbilt out of the water somehow.
They
but
moved.
Outside of that,
go back and watch that game. Their offense, they were there was movement. There was some sort of energy offensively. If I have to see Fears come down the court, Godwin go up to the top of the key and set a screen and everybody just stand there and watch them do a two-man game again, I'm going to, like, he has to have, that's all they do. And then they swing the remaining wing guy. He'll slide down to the corner and the three, and he'll just go baseline to baseline. That's all he does. That's all he does. Like, I honestly miss the days of Kelvin Sampson's 4-1-4 high motion offense, but there was structure to it. It was a cluster, and there was no spacing, but there was structure to it. And they at least had energy offensively and would scrap and hustle. Like, these guys, they don't dive on the court for a ball. Like, there's nothing a fan, even in a loss or you're losing at a home game, can get up and cheer about. And that's the one thing about Samson's teams, and that's one thing about Lon Kruger's teams, and even Jeff Capel's teams outside of that 2010 team that had Tiny Gallen and those other guys on the team that were just, they were talented, but they were just head cases. Those teams, they dive on the court. They're scrapping defensively. They're doing things that can get a fan excited about because you can tell they're giving it their all. Like, I don't know that these players are giving it their all out there right now, Parker. It's hard to tell.
It didn't look like it tonight.
No.
For the first time, that just looked like a team that had kind of quit.
From the top down. Like, Moser looked like he was like, screw this. Like, he was walking, and they panned over to him one time, and it was like the seventh turnover in a row, it felt like. And he just kind of looked down and looked and just went, all right, no, go over here, go over there. And I was just like, you should be calling timeout and reaming their butts right now. And you just kind of pulled out that little white flag out of your pocket and went, just keep playing, guys. I'm done over here.
Yeah.
At what point does Josie just go, Porter, you're going to coach the rest of the... Or is there a point where he comes out and says, I'm going to step down, I'm going to coach the rest of the season, but I'm not, like, this program's not moving anywhere with me.
Yeah, well, look, and if that happens, and this is another thing that's tough to think about, especially as somebody that likes Porter.
Yeah, he's a great guy.
It's going to be memorialized as a gross miscalculation on his part if he had a very lucrative exit ramp to DePaul last season and he chose not to take it in order to run it back at Oklahoma only to wind up unceremoniously canned and looking for work. Because
is this kid
the direction
a senior?
It's trending right now. Like, what'd you say?
Is his son a senior?
Yes.
I think that's why he ran it back, because his son probably wanted to stay at OU. Mm-hmm.
It's just
no inside information, just a guess.
It's tough to watch, man.
Yep.
And it's, again, it's tough to watch because I know Porter is as frustrated as anyone. Mm-hmm. And it's not as if he, like, I don't think he is checked out. I think it's fair to question whether everybody on that team is still, like, whether they all still have the same drive and desire to go out there and win basketball games. I don't think Porter is checked out. I think Porter's trying. I just think he's so zapped at this point by the beating that he and his team have taken throughout the entirety of SEC play that it's just, it's got to be difficult to sit where he's sitting right now.
So before we obviously get to, you know, what if something happens, like, or the inevitable happens, it feels like at this point, we want to thank a sponsor real quickly, Parker. Refine You, Med Spa, Oklahoma City. Fellas, it's Valentine's Day. I know your loved one wants the Botox, wants the lip filler. Maybe your wife or girlfriend or even yourself. Maybe you want to lose some weight. Well, Refine You OKC is all about achieving a healthy weight that you love. Because achieving a healthy weight can be very, very challenging to do on your own, but you're not alone. The skilled team at Refine You Med Spa offers treatments that complement weight loss goals and long-term weight loss support so you achieve a weight that supports your good health and self-esteem. You can achieve your ideal look and feel at with Refine You state-of-the-art practices, including a diverse selection of aesthetic treatments that provide services that benefit every body shape and skin type. The expert-trained Refine You Med Spa team strives to ensure every patient receives personalized treatment plans focused on optimal aesthetic results. The team offers the latest and most popular non-invasive procedures like injectable Botox for your girlfriend and your wife, lip filler, they do all that type of stuff, Daxxify, D-Sport, derma fillers. They offer state-of-the-art laser treatments as well for your skin tightening, spots on your skin like you may have a mole or anything. They can do all that type of stuff for you. Resurfacing, sun repair, sun damage repair, all of that can be done at Refine You Med Spa, Oklahoma City. Again, you're trying to lose weight. They can do a lot of things. You don't have to go to the gym all the time. They can help you get to that weight, and then you can go to the gym and keep that optimal weight on in a very healthy and very, very under the watchful eye of all of them. They do have doctors. They got nurses on site. They've been voted the number one med spa in Oklahoma City for the last 5 years by 405 Magazine. They don't sell procedures. They sell results. So call Refine You Med Spa today for a free consult at 405-849-5391 or book online at refineyouokc.com. All right. I think we both agree there's only one real option that can save this program and save it for the fan base, Parker. Like, I think that's ultimately at the end of the day, it's got to be Kelvin Sampson and Hollis Price. Because, look, if they go get Kelvin Sampson, sources that I've spoke with, there's a good chance that Hollis Price would go with. Because they both love the University of Oklahoma. And the good news is, the donors would be on board. I think the NIL coffers would open up hugely if those two showed up. I honestly think if you really want to push the new arena and make sure that gets done, I think those two help because of who they are and what they mean to the University of Oklahoma and the basketball program in itself, right? Like, can you understand, like think about it. Has there been a lot of guys that have come back, like former players come back under Porter Moser, like to watch games and like been there to support and help the program out?
I truly don't know. I don't pay attention.
I haven't seen it. Normally, you watch games, right? You don't see them pan out. Obviously, Trey Young was at the game in Georgia because it was right down the road from his house. But like,
Yeah, well, I mean, anytime you get a prominent alumni there, you know, Trae Young, Buddy Hield, et cetera.
They pan over, right? They
Yeah,
pan over
it's a
with the
big
tilt. And
deal.
we don't see that. You don't
As
see that.
far as like just the, you know, regular guys who have come through the program over
Well,
the
that's what I'm
years.
talking about, is the big guys. So you know a Kellen Sampson will get the Austin Reeves of the world to come back because obviously his connection with Lon Kruger having helped coach underneath him, right? Obviously Buddy Hield would come back. You know Blake Griffin would come back because he knows Kellen and he played alongside Kellen, right? Like they were on the same team. There's a lot of big names that come back and really kind of you could get that alumni game going again. That Kruger was so good at having those guys come back and play and show face and be around the program. I think that part's lost a little bit, Parker. I really do. There hasn't been anything big happen since Moser showed up, NBA wise either. The last three coaches before him produced NBA talent, right?
They did.
And lots of it. Jeremiah Fears and Jalen Moore are going to be the only two under Porter Moser.
That's what it looks like, man.
Like, what are your thoughts on like the few, like what I said about the arena and stuff, because obviously the new mayor, from what I'm hearing, not big on
Yeah, I think we got plenty
basketball.
of runway to explore that conversation later. I don't think that's a conversation that's going anywhere. I mean, there hasn't been real traction there for a long time. And so there will be time to have those big picture discussions. Why don't we pivot? Let's talk football and recruiting because I don't want to beat a dead horse, especially when the horse is very obviously
You want to
dead.
talk to Marco Murray first?
Well, yeah, that's kind of where I was going.
Okay.
Not going to Penn State.
No.
DeMarco Murray is not going to Penn State.
No.
He will be remaining on staff at the University of Oklahoma.
Yes, he will. Are you wanting me? You probably want me to talk about how all that went down.
Well,
Look,
I just, you know,
he.
I think if you know what drives DeMarco, it's really not all that shocking. And I think most have a healthy understanding that DeMarco didn't coach for money. He didn't
Does
need
not.
it.
Yep.
And we've kind of, you know, we had this whole conversation at the time that there was the flirtation first with USC after the 2021 season and then with Ohio State last
Yep.
spring, right? Like DeMarco coaches because he loves his alma mater and loves giving
Yes.
back, and this is the best way that he can do it. And I look, Brandon, I've very much gotten the sense talking to folks here and there and everywhere that DeMarco Murray probably isn't long for coaching and is unlikely to make a lengthy career out of the profession. He's been in it for what, 6 seasons now, 1 year at Arizona, 5 at Oklahoma. And how old is he? 37? Something like that?
Yeah, he's 37, 38.
Yeah,
Yeah.
37, 38. He is not a guy that has to work forever. Not a guy that, you know, with the age that his kids are, probably didn't want to work forever. I'd be surprised if DeMarco Murray is still coaching in a decade. You could certainly convince me that DeMarco Murray isn't coaching 5 years from now.
I think five
But I,
years is probably where it stops for him
yeah,
because
but
Parker will be 13, 14 years old
and
then.
that's his son Parker, by the way,
Yes,
not
yeah, not
me.
Parker. Yeah. So.
So I don't think it makes any sense for DeMarco Murray to go and coach anywhere else and uproot and relocate his family if this
He's
isn't going to
building a
be it.
home right now, too.
Yeah, it wouldn't be a terribly long-term commitment from what I understand of what his plans for the future are. He's comfortable just riding it out at Oklahoma. Yeah, you know, his wife's I guess got family from back in Ohio or from Ohio, something like that. So that Ohio State thing, like that was real. Oklahoma had to fork over some extra money to keep him on board. But, you know, there was noise about the Cowboys and there was noise about Penn State here in the last couple weeks and never really materialized into much of anything.
No,
Well, at
and
least if you were listening to the right people.
yeah, we look like shortly after that happened, I got a phone call from somebody close within DeMarco's camp, and essentially they were like, dude, this is not real. And they talked about the stuff that you just mentioned. There's one thing I will add. Obviously, Jason Witten is the head coach at Argyle Christian. So that part, like, let's say somebody asked him to go, but somebody asked Jason Witten to go be an offensive coordinator somewhere. That, if that ever happened, that's when Oklahoma fans would worry, because I can almost guarantee you he's following Jason Witten. So they're best friends. And I say that with 100% confidence in that, by the way. Like, they're best friends. Which also, ironically, with where things stand with Cooper Witten, ought to make Oklahoma fans feel pretty good about the standing there. Because as much as the alma mater thing is with Tennessee and all that type of stuff, there is nobody closer to Jason Witten and Tony Romo than DeMarco Murray. They're a trio.
And what was Cooper Witten's first offer?
The University of Oklahoma. Mm-hmm. Yes. So how many offers has he got now? A bunch.
A lot.
And he continually shows up to Oklahoma. He visits Oklahoma. He camps at Oklahoma a lot. DeMarco's known him since he was born. So there is a really, really, really good chance. Like, I have a really good, like, if I was going to bet right now, and I know Tennessee fans will think you're crazy, his dad's an alma mater, like, I would venture to guess he goes to Oklahoma. Like, that's just it. That those relationships, they're hard to beat, Parker. And that's where I get with the whole, like, he would follow Jason Witten. Like, they're that close. So, like, that's where that stands. And like, his family loves it here at Oklahoma. I get to be around his family quite a bit because our kids train together, and like DeMarco, like his wife loves it here, loves it here. And the families are, the wives are close. And I think that's something that fans kind of overlook, the wife aspect, when these coaches get offered jobs elsewhere. Like, it's not just about going and making this money. The family part is very, very important. And the community that has been built within all the coaches' wives is super tight. That's where a lot of it gets hard for the coaches. Like, maybe they want to take a job, but the wife's like, I don't want to uproot my kids and all my really good friends. And they know they can make new friends, right? But when you've been somewhere for 5-6 years and you've become family with all these, that's your life, is those families with the other wives and coaches, that becomes hard. So that too has made it very hard for DeMarco to uproot, outside of his love for OU and his alma mater, to uproot himself and go somewhere else. Like you said, Ohio State, that's been the one true one that's been really hard.
I don't think, and you know, you bring up the whole Jason Witten connection. Yeah, could that come into play later on down the road? But for right, it could certainly. But for right now, what Oklahoma fans need to know is that their running backs coach is not going anywhere. Yeah, he engaged with Penn State, just like he engaged with the Cowboys, right? DeMarco's the type of guy where somebody dials him, somebody hits his line, he's going to pick up the phone.
He gets it a lot for now, all you fans that hate on him. That dude gets offered a lot of jobs.
Yeah, but again, just because you pick up the phone doesn't mean you have any interest in taking a job.
Correct.
And so with where DeMarco's at, career-wise, and again, the way that he's built up this Oklahoma running back room, too, you're getting to the point, and I think you've been at the point now for a couple years, where this entire room consists of his guys that he's handpicked. And looking at it right now, I guess the only transfer is Sam Franklin. Everybody else is somebody that DeMarco has had a relationship with since high school. and has seen through the whole process of bringing to OU. And so factor in that combined with the reality that he's a campus legend and somebody that is revered in OU circles, it's going to make it difficult for a guy like that to walk away and take another job. Now, obviously, again, I think the expectation at some point in the not too distant future, or not too terribly distant, should be that DeMarco is going to just quit coaching. And I would expect that, kind of similar to Bob Stoops, he remains around the program in some kind of advisory role. I don't know what exactly that'll look like, but, you know, he's a guy that I don't think he's going to have it in him to pull completely out of the game, especially if he's staying local. But I don't think anyone expects DeMarco Murray to still be Oklahoma's running backs coach in 2035 or anywhere really close to that. So for now, though, he's the guy. I think he's done a fine job. I know there's a lot of varying opinions on him, and nobody's going to have 100% approval rate when your program went 6-7, 2 out of 3 years. I get that, but he's sticking around. He's not going anywhere. The staff,
do you think the hate warrants it?
I think people have their reasons, and I think those reasons are somewhat justified. You know, like the usage, the rotations, there are those that have taken him to task over those aspects of his coaching job to this point. And, you know, again, I think that's fair. I'm not gonna say it's all warranted. I'm not going to say it's all unwarranted. But, again, nobody's going to have 100% approval rate when your program is floundering and the results aren't what they need to be on the football field. And Oklahoma's going to have a chance to right the ship in 2025. But until then, there's going to be a significant percentage of the fan base that is just restless and dissatisfied. Mm-hmm. And again, perfectly understandable, because the results to this point in the Brent Venables era do not match the OU standard. Yeah. In the realm of recruiting, Brandon, I know, you know, we have months and months to talk about this recruiting class from every possible angle. So we'll only hit what is timely here, but this interior offensive line class, this group of interior offensive linemen that OU is pursuing, is enormous. It's almost as if Bill Beedenbow has had to go down his board in like June and July enough times at this point that he's just like, I'm going to make absolutely certain I don't have to do that this time around. I'm going to make absolutely certain that I have a multiplicity of guys to choose from. And I have so many options that at least two or three of them are going to have to pan out, so that I won't be evaluating additional offer candidates and trying to build relationships with guys in mid to late summer. Because when you think about like the pickup of Josh Isosa a couple years back, or even like Darius Afalava this past year, that was one that Oklahoma got in on late. But the reason I bring that up is because it was announced today by Sam Spiegelman, the national recruiting analyst for Rivals.com, who has done some good scoop work lately for us on the OU front. He put it out there that national top 150 prospect Desmond Green from St. Stephen, South Carolina, is taking an OV to Oklahoma June 6th through the 8th. And that's not a guy that has been to OU before, not a guy that should be regarded as, you know, that OU should be regarded as the leader for necessarily, but they're going to get a shot at him. And so just throw him on the pile alongside Noah Best and Pupunkatoa Katoa and Drew Evers and Puleleite Primus and go on down the list, man. There is quite the hefty conglomeration of targets for Oklahoma at guard and or center. In addition to the fact that they already have a commit in Will Conroy, who's going to play center.
And Conroy, I think, is going to be a guy that, unfortunately, like for centers, right? Like,
yeah, they never get ranked all that high.
You know exactly where I was going with it. They don't ever get ranked very high, but he's a guy that obviously transferred to IMG, right? And IMG just doesn't take anybody. They don't recruit just anybody to go play for him. So he obviously has to be a really good player. And if we are going to be honest about everything, if Ohio State went calling for him, the best thing that ever happened for Oklahoma was the fact that he left the state. Like, he got out of there, and that's going to help Oklahoma. I don't know that they keep him, but I think it helps them keep him. It also doesn't hurt that he's come out, and you were the one that did the interview with him, and
yeah.
said, like, hey, I'm not even going to take my visit until Jake Crail takes his visit because I want my guy to go with me. I know how much he loves Oklahoma. I love Oklahoma. I'm committed to him, and I want to make sure I'm there to help him love it more and go play with us. And I think that to me says more about where his head's at than anything else. Cause that's his actions. Like, his action, it's words, but he's acting on it by waiting on his official visit and working it around his friend and his teammate at IMG. That's very, very important. Obviously, Jake Crail will be in town in a few weeks. Oklahoma's in a really good standing there as well. But I'm excited to see the interior offensive line this weekend, man. Like, there is a lot of really, really good talent that's going to be there.
Oh, you're talking about the Under Armour camp?
Yeah, the Under Armour camp.
It is loaded, man.
It's stupid. Yeah, it's stupid. And it's going to get better. I've been working on a few guys, helping them get a few guys invited today, particularly from the state of Oklahoma, that and not so much invited, but make sure that those kids, because sometimes these kids get these invites and they don't really understand the importance. So I got on the phone with a couple of parents and we're like, hey, man, like, they video this thing and this stuff is sent out to all the college coaches. So, like, you're over here talking to me about your kid being underrated. Well, this is how they become not underrated, is they go and they show out at these big camps. And so there's a few other big names that will be showing up. Joseph Graves from Booker T, one of the top D tackles in 2027, is going to be there. And they're working on a few. They're working on Caden Jones, but I don't think that's going to happen. Well, we can get into that if you want
Please
to.
Please get Xavier Okwufo-Lueze to the camp.
Thank you for reminding me that. Uh-huh. I will work on that tomorrow.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I
want to
see
Warren.
That kid against some elite comp.
Yes. Good idea. KJ Ford's going to be there. I think that's really, really good for Oklahoma.
Champ U Barbecue OV?
Yep. Oklahoma leads for him as well. Drew Evers, another potential. He's more of a tweener, inside-outside type guy. And obviously the little brother of Nick Evers, if you want to call him little, he's much bigger than Nick Evers. He will be there. I believe Oklahoma and Ohio State and Texas A&M would be the teams to watch there for him. Noah Best will be there, Parker. I know you've seen the list. I'm just naming it for everybody. You want to know who's missing that I thought would be there? Is Markel Ford. I didn't see him on the list.
Interesting.
There's two Fords. There's Brandon Ford, and maybe that's his real name. Because that's Crowley, Brandon Ford. Never mind. I was thinking Forney. But yeah, he'll be there. Trying to see here, man. Zachariah Turner will be there. So that's good. And I know Oklahoma's recruiting him. I don't know how hard they're recruiting him at tight end, but they're recruiting him. There's a lot of Oklahoma kids, dude. A lot of Oklahoma kids. More than I can remember. Evanston Malaska will be there. OU defensive back offer out of Bethany.
Mason James will be there.
Mason James will be there. Alger Miles will be there. Out of Kaufman, Texas. Big time Oklahoma wide receiver offer. Trey McLaughlin, the linebacker from Bigsby. I really like him. Obviously, Nehemiah Cologne, the defensive end, D lineman out of Stillwater, who I think, if you're an OU fan, just kind of file that name away a little bit. OU's been kicking the tires a little bit with him, camp and otherwise. Felix Ojo will be there. So that's awesome. Braden Presley will be there. Dequayne Prevost will be there. OU's been pushing for him at wide receiver out of Liberty. I can never say
Liberty Eilau.
Eilau. Yeah, that's what I was going to say. There's so many Parker. Like, this is a fantastic, fantastic, it's a great camp. I believe Delgado out of, well, he's going to be going to Broken Arrow, but they have him listed at Santa Fe. The 2027 quarterback will be there. Parker, it's a who's who, essentially. 28. Dwayne Jones, 2027 D lineman out of Booker T. Washington, who's a teammate, obviously, of Joseph Graves. I'm actually shocked that Dwayne Jones doesn't have an offer, man, from Oklahoma.
I know. What's taking so long, do you think?
I got to figure that out. I got to ask around on that. I need to figure that part out. That's been weird. His brother was the same way, Wayne Jones. Like, OU just kind of teased and it's never offered. And he went to K-State and had a really good career there.
Yep.
As a defensive back. Man, it's just a really, like, I'm excited because we're going to have a lot of content on OU Insider for it. Like, I think that's the best part about it. There is a lot of really, really good players between 28, 27, 26. David Thomas, Stillwater wide receiver. His dad's obviously a coach for Oklahoma State, and he goes to Stillwater, but he likes Oklahoma a lot. He's camped at Oklahoma twice. He really does like OU. Like, that's the weird part about it. Like, and I think his family is very big on him going where he wants to go to, from what, and you got to meet them, remember, in San Antonio. You helped me talk to him a little bit. The other Carter Zingelman transferred to Coppell. He was at Denton Ryan, 2028 quarterback, 6'5", 218-pound quarterback. He's a name to watch. Here's a name that OU fans need to file away.
Okay.
Ben Odom out of Byron Nelson.
Okay.
Quarterback.
That's
there you go. You're getting there.
That's a last name that has some OU connections, I would assume.
It does. That would be Brian Odom's son.
Okay, there you go.
He is a fantastic quarterback and a name that will be a very, very, very highly sought after quarterback in the 2028 class. And it's weird talking about 2028. One, because it weirds me out because that's 3 years older than my son, my oldest boy. Freaking weird, bro. Number one. Number two, it's 2028. That feels like forever away, but it's not. Like, we were talking about, remember Jackson Arnold? We were talking about the 2023 class back in 21. We're like, oh, it's forever down the road. He's going to be a junior, bro. Like, it goes by so fast. Peyton Houston will be there.
Yes, he will.
Yes, I knew you would like that. I need to shoot you over. Booby Feaster will be there. Like, these are all OU guys, by the way, that we're naming, or at least some sort of connection one way or the other, just so you guys are aware. But we're going to have all this content. John Turntine, I don't think OU made his top 10, did they?
No, they did not.
That was shocking, by the way. As many times as that boy... He visited OU quite a bit. That's why it was shocking. Ja'Cory Smith will be there.
Oh, Amarion Robinson's old high school teammate up at Parkview.
Yep, linebacker, has an OU offer. OU's recruiting him fairly hard. Yep. Again, all of our – we will have lots of updates on where OU stands with all these guys on OU Insider VIP. Nelson Peterson Jr., will be there for the 20th time. That is Adrian Peterson's little brother. Carter Landingifer. That is the awesomest last name, by the way.
Langendurfer.
Langendurfer. Furfurfer. I call her Langendurfer. I love it. He laughs when I do it, by the way. Just because that's how it's spelled. Yeah, man. I don't know. Like, who are you excited to see?
Peyton Houston.
I knew that was
A1 on my list, man.
I knew that was going to be your answer. I don't even know why I asked it. Oh, DJ Akerson's going to be there.
And I will be interested to see what he looks like.
He is a massive human being. And I don't think you're talking physically. You're talking about what he looks like, coverage and all that. I get it, but he's just so large. He's going to be a line. I hope they have him at linebacker. It looks like they have him listed as a – who they do have him at linebacker. Good. I thought they were going to have him listed as a DB. That scared me a little bit. He's not a defensive back. Anyways, I'm excited to see. Well, yeah, I'm excited to see Jordan or DJ Akerson. Mainly because, like you, I want to see what he does versus elite talent. Because he's blowing up. Like, he just kind of came out of nowhere. His obviously his film was awesome. But like nationally, he came out of nowhere. So I think that's, to me, that's exciting. I know he's 2027, but I'm such a big Joseph Graves fan. I think he's a freaking dude. I hope he goes and dominates. So he would be one. Mason James, I want to see really badly versus elite talent. Because I think this is where he shows up and he walks away and everybody goes, damn, that dude can ball. Like, we know he can because we've been watching him for 3 years. But I don't think the nation fully recognizes how good he really is. I know you and I have been pushing for him to be ranked, particularly on Rivals. So, Caden Jones, let's talk about him. Like, we talked about it on the live the other day. How long until you think he announces?
Oh, man. It feels like, and again, feels
inevitable pretty quickly. I don't know.
Feels like
I
there's
that.
Just some degree of like intentional smoke and subterfuge going on there.
Yes.
Because you see him and his dad posting stuff from Vanderbilt and Kansas, and just tonight he announced that he's going to take an official visit to Oklahoma State in April, which wasn't even in his top five. It's like, okay, what? How much of this is real, and how much of this is just noise? I think he's committed before OVs roll around.
Totally agree. I think he's committed before OU spring game or by OU spring game.
Okay.
Like, when I say bye, I'm talking like, you know what I mean? Like,
yes, before April 12th.
No, I mean, like, by the end of that day, I think he's announced to Oklahoma type deal. I just can't imagine him going anywhere else.
Nor can I.
It just feels weird. Who do you, there's always a surprise at these camps, like, we go, okay, for instance, like, we knew KJ Green liked Oklahoma, right? But our man Roddy at the Georgia site did a good interview with him, and he goes out and he says, they're my top two.
Yep.
Like, there's always a shocker. Like, if you had to pick one guy that's like, shocks you and is like, oh, I love Oklahoma, I just sent you the full list.
Mm-hmm.
Who would you think it would be?
Zion Robinson from Mansfield, the wide receiver.
That's a good one.
He's got family ties to TCU, which is going to make things tough on OU, but that, yeah, like, there's been some quiet confidence on the OU side of things for some time now that's a guy they could have if they wanted. And Emmett Jones is just, he's in such a good spot with so many different wide receivers right now. It's like, okay, who's going to wind up on the outside looking in? Because
yeah,
you can't take everybody. They're going to have to say no. And he's had to say no each of his first two cycles at OU. Yes, he's had to say no at a certain point to multiple dudes in each class.
And then the people he said no for, he pushed away at the end of the cycle. that was unfortunate. Dang, man. For me, I know Jalen Pyles committed.
Yeah, I don't think he's going anywhere.
Yeah, that's kind of where I'm at. I don't know, man. Like, I'm trying to find like a name that I've heard quite a bit about.
Expect Trenton Yancey to say some nice things about OU.
Well, yeah, but that's not a surprise because he's been to Oklahoma so much, and you and I know that he loves Oklahoma. So, like, that's – I'm looking more for, like, a – just a surprise as in, like, wow, I couldn't believe he mentioned Oklahoma. I'm going to say it. I know Oklahoma wasn't in John Turrentine's top 10. I think he will visit Oklahoma again before he makes a decision.
Really? Why is that?
Here's why. I know his mom loved Oklahoma. I know that Oklahoma was one of his, you know, top schools, them and TCU, and I think Texas were really up there last winter. He talked quite a bit about Oklahoma. I just don't know that Oklahoma, I don't know if they've given up on it. This is one of those, I'm guessing type deal, just spitballing and kind of predicting something down the line. I don't think it matters because I think either way, Oklahoma's going to have an elite offensive line class. So, like John Turrentine or not. So, yeah, I'm just excited about this weekend. I'm really excited for, again, the content and us hearing about where Oklahoma stands. And this is where things kind of kick off, people. Like, this is where it starts to get really hot because 7-on-7 kicks off here literally March 1st. 7-on-7 just explodes. And Parker and I will be at multiple rivals camps. We're going to be going to Atlanta. We're going to be doing some Under Armour stuff at some other places, Kansas City, Houston, potentially Nashville. We'll do some other Rivals camps as well, obviously with Rivals. We're going to do the one in Texas. We're going to do the one in Kansas City. We're going to do a lot of stuff. We got a lot of camps, a lot of 7-on-7. Spring practice starts here in 3 weeks. So, oh, not even 3 weeks, 2.5 weeks. And so it's getting right down to it to where things are really starting to kick off football. And it feels like football just ended, but since the playoffs go so far and then the NFL goes so far into February that there's really not that huge 9-month break anymore. You get about 4 or 5 months in between spring and, you know, the Super Bowl and all that to where you add all of it up. It's about 4 or 5 months of no football, and then you're back at it again. So that's why you got to go to OU Insider. Champion Barbecue's coming up. Party in the Palace. The spring game. All the spring practices that Parker and I will be at. They open up the practices for us, by the way, a lot of times in the spring. So we will have a lot of footage for you guys. We will have a lot of live, our eyes on the practice, telling y'all what's going on, what we see. It's going to be exciting. Ben Arbuckle, obviously. Brent Venables running the defense. What is Wes Goodwin? How does he change some things up, right? You know he's going to help BV out quite a bit. How much say does Brandon Hall have in all this from this point on? Dryling, does he change some things up? Like, we're going to have all that for you on OU Insider VIP. That's why $9.95 a month, $99.95. That's where it's at. Obviously, if you don't want to subscribe there, you can subscribe right here to this YouTube channel or any of the podcast platforms that you listen to us on, because we thank you You help us out every which way when you do that. So we thank you, thank you, thank you for that. If you're a college student, you have a .edu, doesn't matter what college you go to, give us a try. We will send you a promo code if you email us, ouinsider@rivals.com. You email us from your .edu. You can be from Timbuktu University, and we will send you back a promo code for you to get OU Insider for $11.95 for the whole year. One payment, literally less than $1 a month, and you get it for a whole year. Same with Active Duty Military. You can email us from your Active Duty Military account, and we will send you back a promo code. Make sure you email us, ouinsider@rivals.com. We will send you back a promo code to get OU Insider for $11.95 for the whole year. All right. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you all. Thank you to our sponsors. Thank you, obviously, to Riverwind for being the title sponsor. We're so blessed to have them. We're blessed to have all of our sponsor. Thank you, Refine U, Mets Ball, Oklahoma City. Obviously, thank you, Rocket Finance. Thank you guys so much for everything you guys do for us. All right, that's going to do it for this version of the U Insider and the Visor Sooners podcast. For Parker Thune, my name is Brandon Drum. You guys have a blessed day.